This week's parsha is Shmos. We begin our learning a sefer Shmos this week, and what I would like to there's so much to talk about in the parsha. What I'd like to focus on is more broadly the conversation that Hashem has with Moshe at the burning bush, and specifically one of the issues that or questions that Moshe has. One of the reasons that he offers as to why he doesn't think he's up for the task to serve as the leader, and Hashem's response. And then we'll see a similar conversation that seems to repeat itself in next week's Parsha and Parshas Ve'era. So I'll get to that in a moment. Let me just take a step back. So Moshe is shepherding, of course, the flock of Yisro in the desert, and he comes upon that burning bush. And Hashem begins to Moshe approaches. Once Moshe approaches, Hashem begins to speak to him. Okay, so the conversation begins in earnest. This is in Perek Gimel, and Hashem begins by saying that he recognizes Ra'ora Isi. I've seen Asaniya Mi, the affliction of my nation. Sakasam Shamati, I've heard their Saka, their crying, and Yadati Esmachovav, I know they're suffering. Bottom line, what does God say to Moshe? V'ata now lucha, go v'shachacha el Paro. I'm going to send you to Paro. V'otzeis ami b'nei Sumitzah. I'm going to take my nation out of Egypt. So that's okay. That's the instructions. Go to Paro. Now it's time to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. So Moshe responds, "Mi anochi? Who am I? Can you lech el Paro? Who am I that I should go and I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt? Vaschi otzias bnei Yisrael. It's fine. I should take the Jews out of Egypt." And God says, "You're no one. He says, you're not so special. But Yomer kiemach, but I'll be with you. I will be with you, and the proof of the pudding is that eventually you're gonna come right back here. And where's right back here? Haharazeh, this mountain. Again, we have a tradition that he was standing at the foot of Har Sinai. Okay. So then Moshe responds, Moshe, I'm gonna say that you spoke to me, and they're gonna wanna know what's your name." Right, so again, according to Mefarshim, they want to know, what are you coming with? Mercy, justice? Is this temporary? Is this immediate? Forever? In what sense are you coming to me? It's interesting. Just as a quick side point, Moshe says, "I'm going to go to the Jewish people." Who said he's supposed to go to the Jewish people? What did God tell him to do? God told him to go to Paro, right? God didn't tell him to go to the Jewish people. And Moshe said, "I'm going to go to the Jewish people. They're going to ask who you are." Well, who said he should go to them? So I was looking around to see if anyone asked this question, and I saw Rav Hirsch ask the question. And Rav Hirsch suggests that Moshe understood that this was part of his mission, that there was twofold. And this does play itself out as the parshios unfold. One thing is that Moshe's job was to go to Paro, and his job was to get Paro to acquiesce and to agree and to recognize that there is Hashem. But Moshe's additional job, and this is a job that not only was for the here and now, but this was going to be his job now for the rest of his life, was to get the Jewish people to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a relationship with God, right? To recognize that ultimately everything depends upon Hashem. That Moshe sensed that was also going to be his long-term mission, so that's why he asked, "What am I going to say when I go to the Jewish people?" And God responds, "Yeah, we're not going to go into this now. We know what this means." He says, "Okay, you'll go and you'll say my name, Ekya, Asher Ekya. I will be what I will be." And now, so go, and I want you to go to gather the elders. And sit to the elders of the Jewish people and tell them that I've arrived, that I'm here, and the time for your redemption has is now upon you. And okay, and it's a very long discussion here. So then Moshe now has got another issue. Now we're issue number three. Again, first one, he says, who am I? Number two, he says, his complaint is that they're not going to believe me. What should I say when I say, you know, what's your name? What should I tell them? And the next thing he says, this is now the beginning of Perek Dalet. V'yan Moshe v'yomer, v'him lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu b'koli, and they're not going to listen to my voice. They're going to say, I made the whole thing up. They're going to say I'm a false prophet, that you never appeared to me. So that's when God then gives them the signs, right, about the staff, and the staff turning into a snake. And then, you know, he puts his hand into his pocket, and it comes out with tsaras, with leprosy, right? All these different signs that he is given. Okay. Oh, and then the water turning to blood. Those are the signs you're going to show the Jewish people. So, okay. So God took care of that. Are you ready to go, Moshe? No. Now a fourth issue Moshe has. And this is what I want to focus on. But there's going to be a fifth issue. The fifth issue, I'll just skip quickly to end off the story. The fifth issue is that, finally, he just throws up his hand and says, send whoever you want to send, but don't send me. And that's when God gets angry at him. But what's the fourth thing? What's the fourth complaint that Moshe has, a reason, excuse that he has why he shouldn't be the one? So this is in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Bi Adonai, lo yish devarim anochi. God, you know me. I'm not a man of words. Gamitmol gamil shulshon. Now, in the past, kimiyoz de barchel avadacha ki chavad pel chavad lashon anochi. This whole time you've been talking to me. In fact, Rashi, the Ramban, they try to figure out, they try to show you that based upon the whole language here in the Pasuk, that they've been having a week-long conversation. Day seven already. They learn out from all these words, gam, 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 and that it's been a week-long conversation that God's been trying to convince Moshe to go. But the whole time, you hear me, God. You hear the way I'm talking. I'm kvaped v'kvad lashon. Kvad is heavy, right? Heavy of mouth. I'm heavy of speech. I'm not the right person. I can't talk. I can't speak properly. What exactly is the issue? We'll see in a second in terms of what is his his concern here. And when, so what does God respond this time? So the next pasuk, Moshe love misam pel adam. Calm down, Moshe. Who gave a person the ability to speak? Right, God says that I am the one who makes the mouth for a person, who makes one unable to talk, who makes one unable to hear, to see. I control everything, says God. Just go. And I will be with your mouth. You think you can't speak? Don't worry. I'll be with your mouth. I will show you what to say. And, ultimately, God tells them, Aaron's going to go out to greet you, and he'll speak on your behalf. Oh, don't worry, Moshe. Don't worry. So, again, the question is, what exactly is Moshe? What's Moshe's issue with his speech that he thinks is such a problem? Number two, it seems like God solves the problem. Right? God says, okay, listen, I'm the one who controls speech. I'm the one who controls all these different deficiencies that people have. I'll be with you, not to worry. Aaron will help you out. So then the question is, so then what's going on in next week's Parsha? Because next week's Parsha, remember what happens. This week's Parsha, Moshe ultimately does go to Paro, and Paro basically laughs him off. Paro, totally rejects the demand, and not only does he reject the demand, he makes the matters even worse for the Jewish people, and the Jewish people then complain to Moshe. Moshe gets all upset, says, God, you told me to go, and things are even worse. And so that's how this week's parsha ends. And God says, oh, you'll see, now you're going to see what the great wonders. Right? The parsha ends on a cliffhanger, this week's parsha. And the next week's parsha is, God says, he gives the Dal L'shon L'shon Ge'ula, the expressions of redemption, of I will take you out, I will bring you out, all those different expressions. Teiti, Vitalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti, Avisi. And then God says again, go to Bial Paro, go speak to Paro, right, and take the Jews out. So what's Moshe's response this time? Okay, he's already agreed to the mission of the burning bush. So guess what, Moshe, he's got another complaint or another reason not to go. One second, God, this is not going to work. The Jewish people didn't listen to me, right? After Moshe conveys the message about the four expressions of redemption to the Jewish people, they're told, V'lo shamo Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe, mikotzer ruach mevodah kasha. They were so disheartened because all the hard work, they were so devastated, they were in a state of total chaos and deflated, defeated. They couldn't hear the message. So Moshe says, they didn't listen to me. How's Paro going to listen to me? And here's then the key words. And then he throws in, and my lips are circumcised. It's a strange expression, but we generally assume that it means that this is another thing, another complaint about his ability to communicate, his ability just to speak. And what's God's response this time? God says, just go. God doesn't even, give him a speech this time about, oh, I'm going to help you out. He says, just go, Moshe. So what is this thing about the speech? And if it was resolved at last week's parasha, so then what's Moshe, this week's parasha, so what's Moshe bringing it up again in next week's parasha? And is Aras Vasayim different than Kavad Peh v'Kavad Lashon? And then one just larger question, and that is, if you think about a great communicator in the history of the Jewish people, so there's many people you can think of, certainly David HaMelech, right, with composing Tehillim, the Psalms, Shlomo, with everything he composed, and there's many others, but maybe the greatest of all communicators was Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe was constantly giving speeches. He was constantly speaking to the Jewish people. And in fact, there's an entire sefer of the Torah that's Moshe speaking. That's sefer dvarim, words, right? That's his final great, oratory speech, dialogue, communication to the Jewish people. So, did he take speech lessons? Did he take some speaking? Go to college and take speech 101? The Gemara seems to say, if I remember correctly, there's a Chazal that says that he actually did improve, that at Har Sinai, everything came better for him. Hashem gave this gift finally at Har Sinai. There's a fascinating Ramban in this week's Parsha, where the Ramban actually, Hashem sort of criticizes Moshe, because Moshe is complaining about his speech. You know what Ramban says he should have done? He should have davened to Hashem that Hashem should heal whatever impediment he had. He should have davened. And if he would have davened, Hashem would have, and that's maybe what Hashem was even, according to Ramban, Hashem was telling him, like, who gave, the ability of people to speak and to see and to hear? It's me, so to daven to me, and I'll help you out. But he doesn't daven. So Hashem just lets him continue with that speech. So, but now, what exactly was this impediment? And what exactly was this issue that Moshe was having? So, before we get to the famous Medrash that many of us are aware of, on a pshat level, on a simple level, the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, the way they the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, as much as they can, try to state the pshat, just to understand the basic text of the Torah without getting into midrashim and gemaras, just the simple words, what's happening. So the Rashbam says, Ki kevav peh v'chvav lashon, a fascinating suggestion. Moshe was saying, I'm not reading the Rashbam, Eini baki b'lashon Mitzrayim, b'chituch lashon. You see, Moshe Like I guess a lot of kids who have a dual identity or a dual passports, or who grew up in one country but they their parents are from another country. He was confused, and you know, he's like those kids in Israel. You make Aliyah, so they're in school, they're learning Hebrew, but at home they're still speaking English, or or immigrants who came to America, and so they're learning to speak English, and their parents still speak, you know, the language of the old country. And even the parents are beginning to learn English, but they still have an accent, you know, back from the country that they came from. And so Moshe is confused in terms of his ability to speak properly. Any baki b'loshon Mitzrayim b'chituch loshon. He was, even though he was sort of raised in the palace, but we also know that the Yocheved still nursed him for many years. And he didn't have a complete grasp of the Egyptian language, of all the nuance of the Egyptian language, suggests the Rashbam. And you know, you want me to go to Paro. How am I going to speak to Paro when you need someone to be able to articulate, to communicate, to be able to be very clear, concise, and you know, to if you want to use the correct language and words and emphasis that Paro will understand and Paro will respect. I don't have that. Right, I'm not that individual. So that's what the Rashbam says. The Ibn Ezra, slightly different, says, "Rakacha nolad shayekfad pes shelo haya yachol lahotzi osios hasasefa v'chol osios halashon raksasam hayimotziim beKovid." That maybe he did have some sort of speech impediment. That maybe he knew the language, he knew Hebrew, he knew Aramaic, he knew Hebrew, and he knew Egyptian, whatever language that they spoke, but maybe he couldn't pronounce all the words properly. Maybe he had a lisp. Maybe there was something that he had that you know, certain people just have a difficulty sometimes pronouncing, enunciating certain letters and certain phrases, and maybe that was the issue. Maybe that was the issue, says the Ibn Ezra. And according to and so what's God's response? God says, "I'll help you out." Right? God says not to worry. I'll be able to assist you, help you. It won't be an issue. And so that could be. What's going on in Parshas Va'era? So maybe the following. That at this juncture, when Moshe says, "I can't speak," who was God telling him to talk to at this point? So I raise this at the beginning. First, God says to go to Paro, but then it shifts, and the whole focus then is on Moshe talking to the Jewish people. Right? The main focus is Moshe having a conversation with the Jewish people. Right? And they're going to ask me, how do we know that you really spoke to God? What name did God appear? He has to go to the elders. And he's nervous. You know, again, we can use the Rashbam, maybe the opposite way. Maybe he wasn't concerned about his Egyptian. Maybe he's concerned about his Hebrew. He's been in the palace all these years, right? That is, you know, again, sort of like, you know, someone who's your first language is, let's say, English, but then, you know, you make Aliyah, and then you speak Hebrew the last 30 years, and like you sort of forget you're English. So maybe Moshe is concerned about how he's going to communicate effectively to the Jewish people. And God says he has to reassure him. So what happens? He goes to the Jewish people. And is he effective? The answer is, from his perspective, not at all. And they don't listen to him. They're all disgruntled after he talks to them. So then what does Moshe say? Moshe says, "Now you want me to go to Paro? I need a Rosh Hashanah. I couldn't speak properly to the Jews. They didn't respect me. How's Paro going to respect me?" And again, arousal time could be just like another word for kfah peh, kfah lashon, you know, just another way of a phraseology. So again, on a pshat level, that could be, you know, what just, you know, Moshe's he's concerned about communicating effectively. Maybe as a lisp, maybe as a deficiency in a strong command of Egyptian, of Hebrew, and he can't do it well for the Jews. How is he going to do it for Paro? And God tries to reassure him. And, you know, maybe over time, you know, the more you speak, the more you, I remember when I was at, in college, and I was becoming more confident that I probably was going to go into the rabbinate. So I wasn't required, but I decided to take a speech class in the university. And, you know, one of the most important, besides all the different tools that they give you, the thing that ultimately helps you the most is just practice, 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 practice. The more you do it, the more comfortable you become. So Moshe over time becomes this great orator. Just didn't start off that way. So that's all the pshat level. I'd like to give one other suggestion. I was listening to a shiur earlier by Rabbi Alex Israel, who focused on this. I met Alex Israel several weeks ago when we discussed about Shimon and Levi and about what they did in killing out the inhabitants of Shechem, and how we view that, how Yaakov viewed that, they viewed that. So I'd like to, a little bit based on what he said, and also based upon, he raised this as well, a very famous medrash that we probably know, and also a fascinating comparison between what happens with Moshe here and Yeshayahu's original prophecy, or God first makes a Yeshayahu a prophet, and it's the Haftorah of a Parshas Yisro. So we'll get to that in a second. So first, the famous medrash. So what's the famous medrash? All the kids know this medrash. They taught this medrash in school. It appears in Shmos Rabbah. Why is Moshe saying that he can't speak properly? Because the answer is because he couldn't speak properly. He wasn't making this up. Because what happened? Back when he was a little boy, maybe he was 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old. So he's growing up in the palace of Paro. By the way, the I forget who says this. Is it maybe Ibn Ezra? I forget who said this. Because Ibn Ezra, I believe, suggests that because he grew up in the palace of Paro, that's why God selects him. Because he actually knows how to communicate to Paro, and he actually has grown up in royalty. He's someone who's going to be able to know the language, and to know the way that a leader should conduct himself. Not only is it going to be effective in his communication to Paro, but it'll help him out for the next 40 years in the desert. But be as it may, he grows up, of course, in the palace of Paro, which is, you know, just an amazing part of the story. That here's this kid growing up in the palace of Paro. Ultimately, he's going to be the one who's going to be the savior for the Jewish people. Part of what makes the story so fascinating is, you know, that element. But anyway, he's growing up in the palace of Paro, and the Medrash says one fine day, or over a course of several days or several weeks, he gets an interest in playing with Abba's crown, right? The Zadie's crown, right? It's the daughter of Paro is raising him, so Paro is his grandfather, step grandfather. And he's like a little kid, the crown's full of jewels and then gold, and he's playing with it. And the advisors of Paro, the Chartumim, these different people looking to the stars, they're getting very nervous because they've seen in the stars that someone's going to emerge from the Jewish people to be their savior. They can't figure out who it is, and that's why they're having the Jewish babies being thrown into the river. And, you know, and the whole, everyone knows that this is the stepson of the daughter of Paro, and, you know, is he Jewish? Is he not Jewish? And like they're very, and in fact, he's playing with the crown. Maybe this is a sign that he's ultimately gonna take over and defeat and then destroy Paro, and he's gonna become the ruler. So they want to kill him. They want to kill him. And so the Medrash continues that what happens is that one of the advisors, and here's another fascinating part of the whole story of the whole saga and how all the connections. So the Medrash says, which advisor is it? Yisro. So Moshe's future father-in-law. Right now, he's this cute little five-year-old who's a little bit of a spark aleck by taking the playing with the crown. Yisro has an idea. No, let's not kill the kid. Let's test him. Let's see if he really is the future savior of the Jews, or if he's just a kid who's playing around. What's the test? We're going to put the crown on one side. On the other side, we're going to put these glowing hot coals. And if he grabs the crown, and that's going to show that he really is going to be the savior for the Jews, and we'll have to get rid of him. But if he grabs the coals, so again, even it's unclear why would he grab the coals. Either because he's not so smart, and therefore he's nothing to worry about. Maybe the coals would be more interesting. Eventually kids get bored of one of, you know, I don't know if the Medrash says it, but I was thinking this. Eventually kids get bored of the toy after a while. So if you introduce a new toy, they're going to go to the new toy. But if he still goes to the crown, that means that he's going to the crown because it's a sign that he, you know, one is going to be king, you know, eventually and going to help the Jews. So what happens? They do the test. And what does Moshe do? He's going to be the future leader of the Jewish people. He's going to take the Jews out of Egypt. So, of course, he goes to the crown, right? And what happens? The Malach Gavriel shows up, right? And he's invisible, and he redirects his the little boy's hand. Moshe grabs the coal, and for some reason, it's so hot, he touches his mouth with it. And forever, you know, moving forward, he has a speech impediment. So that's the famous method. So Rabbi Israel asked, where did Chazal get this from? Where did they get this all? The coal touching his mouth. So he says, you know where they get it from? They get it from Sefer Yeshayahu. They get it from Yeshayahu. What does Yeshayahu tell us? So in a famous, famous prophecy, again, I believe this is a Haftorah of Parshas Yisrael. Let me double check if I'm right. I think I'm correct. This is correct. Yeah, it's... when we read the Aseres HaDibros and the Jews encountering God at Har Sinai, so we read about the time that Yeshayahu encounters God. He actually sees God's throne. That's Perek Vav. And when he sees God's throne, he sees the angels around God's throne. And what does he hear the angels say? Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melech Haaretz Kvado. On Shavuos, when we also read about the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai, So we also have a Haftorah that talks about seeing God's throne. But again, let me check this out, make sure I remember this correctly. But instead of the Haftorah of Yeshayahu, I believe instead it's the Haftorah of Yechezkel. Yechezkel also sees God's throne. Yechezkel spent a lot more time describing what he sees. And he also sees the angels. And what do the angels say? Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo. Now you understand Kedusha. So we say Kedusha now when we're mimicking the angels. We're saying what they said because we got it from Yeshayahu and Yechezkel. Actually heard the angels say these psukim. Yeah, on Shavuos it's Haftar of Yechezkel, the first through beginning of the third chapter, and the Haftorah for Parshas Yisrael. Again, we read about Har Sinai and the Aseres HaDibros. So that's this Perek Vav from Yeshayahu. Okay, so what happens? So Yeshayahu sees God, as it were. He sees God's chariot, the angels, and it's no human being is, you know, except for Moshe at the top of the mountain. No Jew has seen God to such an extent. You know, Yeshayahu has that privilege. But all of a sudden, after he has this vision, all of a sudden he gets very nervous. Because one thing you know from the Torah, what are you not supposed to do? Whatever exactly this means, you don't see God, right? Human beings cannot see God. Right? In Jewish mysticism, a human being cannot see God and live. It's interesting, as a quick aside, in Islamic mysticism, no human being can see God and live except for one, and that was Muhammad, right? Muhammad ascended up all the different heavens, and he went past Moshe, he went past Avram, he went all the way to God. But in Jewish mysticism, no one can go to God. You can see the throne, like the bottom. You can see the angels, but you can't perceive God. But Yeshayahu feels that he's seen too much. And even that throne with the angels is like his life is over. And he says, "V'omar, oily woe to me! I am a man of impure lips. My lips are impure. Underline that impure lips." And the people are impure that I'm amongst. Anochi Yoshev. Ki es ha-melech ha-shem tzvakos ro'inai, and yet I have seen God. Like, how can that be? So what happens? So one of the angels, the seraphim, one of the angels, flew over to me. They have wings. They flew over to me. U'biado ritzpa. And in his hand, b'malach lachayim. And the angel grabbed from the altar what's on the base of the altar? Coals. He grabbed the coal from the altar. By Yiga SP, and he touched my mouth. Behold, this has now touched your lips. and now has gone away your iniquity, and your sin shall be atoned for. And then God says, okay, this is all his initiation to be the prophet. So then Eshma called, then I hear a voice, Eshkola Hashem Omar, God says, it's me Eshlach, who I send, me Lech, well, who will go for us? Omar Hinani Shalachini, here I am, send me. Is this not the story of the burning bush? Right? And Moshe, I'm going to need to send someone. And what does Moshe say? I can't do it. Right? On Kfar Pet, Kfar Lashon. Later on, he's going to say, I'm near Raos Tvasayim. What is perhaps Moshe saying at this point? Not just that he has a speech impediment. Maybe he did. But what he's saying more is that I'm not deserving of this. I'm not worthy of doing this. Now, it could be he's also saying that the Jewish people, like Yeshayahu is saying, that you made the Jewish people are not, we're not holy enough. We haven't, what have we done to deserve God this miracle that you're about to perform? This blessing and this opportunity of being your special nation, right? Like the message of going to the Jewish people, again, I started with this, you know, coming back to this. It's not just to go to Paro, but it's also to go to the Jewish people and get them excited and motivated that they're about to ultimately top. You know, you're going to serve me at this mountain, right? That's the first thing Moshe asks is that, you know, why me? And God says, well, you know, the proof is that you're going to come back here on this mountain. You're going to serve me. That's the ultimate purpose of all of this, is to begin this relationship. And Moshe is saying, maybe we're not ready. Maybe I'm personally not worthy. Maybe the Jewish people are not worthy. And so what does God do? So he places the coal on his lips, right? And he's telling Moshe again on a personal level, listen, you were raised in the palace and you're raised in this state of impurity. I have purified you, right? And I think a little more than that. I forget if Rabbi Israel said this or not. I think he did. He's saying like, and you're going to get dirty, right? It's gonna be hot. It's not going to be easy. Because the easy way out for Moshe with that medrash is to grab the crown. Grab the crown is that's the gold. That's excitement. That's what's shining and sparkling. All the jewels. But sometimes the easy way out in life is the way to failure, right? Sometimes taking the easy road and you know is ultimately the road of that you're not going to accomplish, not be successful. Sometimes taking the more difficult path, although it's difficult and it's even painful and hurtful and has a lot of and so many challenges along the way, but ultimately the ultimate reward is when you take that path, and when you're willing to push forward, even though there's all these setbacks and difficulties along the way, and so for you, Moshe, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very challenging. Right, read the rest of the Torah, how difficult it is for Moshe. And again, on a larger scale, the Jewish people, how difficult it's going to be for us. Not only in Egypt, getting out of Egypt, being in the desert, but until Tavshin Pei Gimel, right now, it's still difficult. It's still really hard. It's still really, you know, everything seems to be unclear and so challenging and so painful in certain moments and setbacks and lack of clarity, but Hashem says to keep them moving forward. But Hashem says, "I've placed the coal up upon you, and through the hard work, so ultimately you will merit redemption, and along the way you'll accomplish great things." And so perhaps that is the image. Again, Moshe is sort of he doesn't want this task because he sees how hard it's going to be. And how difficult it's going to be, both in his Kfar Pet, Kfar Lashon, in his conversation with the Jewish people, and also the Raos Tvasayim, his conversation with Paro, right? It's difficult dealing with our fellow Jews, and it's difficult dealing with the nations of the world. They're both hard. They're both hard, and sometimes you know I don't want it, right? It's too challenging. And what's God's response each time? I'm going to be with you. Number one, right? That's what God says to Moshe. Who makes it, you know, who gives you the ability to speak, ability to talk, ability to see? It's all me. And I'll give you help. I'll give you Aaron's. I'll help you out along the way. And I'll be there for you. And then when you're afraid to go to Paro and you see Raos Tvasayim, so what's the answer there? Just go, right? God doesn't even give him my tone there. I'll be with you. Just go, right? Just move forward. Again, so what I think it emerges from all of this is that, again, this is a much larger lesson. It's not just a simple, hey, I'm having trouble speaking, and I'm not going to be a good orator. But it's a much larger issue that Moshe himself is concerned about on a personal level, and on a national level. That this whole journey is going to be too difficult, and maybe we should just take the easy way out. And God says that no, taking the easy way out, again, you might be better on the short term, but long term, it's not going to get you anywhere. And long term, it's going to be a struggle, but ultimately, it's going to lead to redemption. And ultimately, along the way, you're going to be able to impact not only yourselves and Paro, but you're going to change the world. And the coal is there to emphasize that it won't be easy, but at the same time, like Yeshayahu responds, and ultimately Moshe himself says and does, it's Hineni. Okay, I'm ready. We're ready. Ready to go. God calls out, and who's with me? And Moshe ultimately does take the task at hand, and he moves forward. Yeshayahu responds favorably. And in every generation is given this call and this charge, and every individual Jew is also like we're all standing. Each one of us stands at the burning bush. Each one of us, like Yeshayahu, is before the God's chariot. God is giving us this mission, and it's our we need to have the foresight and the vision, and the recognition. That again, some things may look more enticing, those crowns look nicer, but it's what's behind the coal and what the coal represents, which ultimately is going to give us the greatest fulfillment and will give us the best ability to ultimately fulfill God's purpose for us as individuals and as a nation in this world. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.